Attention builders, renovators, and specialty contractors. On June 11th, I'm going to be hosting a roundtable on project management with Charlie Burtwistle, the VP of Operations over at Builder Trend.
Project managers make or break your construction company, but so few of them actually know what they're doing, and so few contractors know how to manage them. Excellent project management is crucial to growing past 10 million and beyond. You cannot outwork dysfunction.
That's why, to go deep, we're bringing together three of our top-performing contractors that we work with to pull back the curtain and show you the project management systems that they currently use. This has helped them triple their revenue, grow margins dramatically, and just restore sanity back to their lives. So let's make this happen. June 11th, click the link in the description to register, and I'll see you there. Hey everyone, welcome back to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy. We've got a beefy episode for you today. We're talking about the word of the year, tariffs. My guest today, Trent Codney, is back on the show. He's going to help us prepare our businesses for the potential impacts that tariffs have on material costs and ultimately our profit margins. Trent is a board-certified construction lawyer, author, and co-host of the number one construction law podcast, Law & Mortar. Today, we're going to be covering what tariffs actually are and how they have an impact on our industry. What clauses you can put in your contracts to make sure you're protected from any kind of tariff shocks. And Trent's prediction on what's coming next, based on his time spent in Washington, D.C. One of the clauses that he spoke about, he actually gave us as well. This will help protect a lot of us from changing costs on our material. So make sure you check out the link in the description and grab it. Other than that, let's get started. You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less. Trent, thanks for coming on. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
We've got lots to get into. We are talking all things tariffs, how this impacts our industry, and how can we maneuver properly. So there's so much moving in the news every day, and everyone knows this. Like, I mean, when we're going to record this and when we're going to release this, I'm sure there's going to be changes. But I wanted to capture in time what's going on right now, what can we do about it, how do we pivot, and how do we just make sure we protect ourselves? Should this stuff change in the future? Because it's pretty tumultuous. So at this point, let's just start with this. Like, where are we at with things? Like, what is going on out in the marketplace? What's changed in DC? Where are things at?
Yeah, so look, it's a very interesting topic, and it's been top of mind for, you know, anyone in construction and honestly anyone in manufacturing. And you know, this started back in January, and we've seen a series of tariffs, most recently with the reciprocal tariffs and some adjustments that have happened since that time. But, you know, the idea, the impetus behind this was to equalize trade and to engender certain responses for purposes of trying to even the playing field. So when the tariffs originally came out, one of the things that I cautioned, you know, contractors about was, I said, look, you know, don't believe all the noise that you hear. Right. A lot of this is done for negotiating purposes. You can anticipate there's going to be changes. And that's exactly what we've seen. We've seen a variety of changes, most recently with the deal, not only with the UK, but also China and some of the rollback of some of their tariffs. So, you know, I think you can anticipate, like you said, that there's going to be additional changes, additional deals to be made. But one thing that I am positive about is that we will have some stability here in the next few months. And the reason I'm saying that is because midterms are right around the corner, and the Republican Party has signaled that it needs some stability for purposes of running against, opponents during the primary races. So one of the things that they're going to look for is to try to at least have some understanding of what the tariffs are without this, you know, sort of chaotic movement. I anticipate in June or July, whatever we have will probably be what we're going to have for the next few years.
Yeah, we've all been waiting for this like 90-day tariff pause in July and seeing kind of what comes after it. But you think it'll pretty much just kind of stay the same where we're at right now, or there'll be continued negotiations to make things a little bit easier than what we've been through so
far?
Yeah,
look, I think as it relates to China, and that's, you know, the main trade partner, there's a ton of construction materials that come from China, source materials that are used for purposes of creating end products. you know, fasteners, solar products, you name it, a lot of it comes from China. So it impacts us and vice versa. And, you know, if there's absolutely no movement whatsoever, then yeah, we might snap back to, you know, the previous rates. Recognize that that even with this rollback of some of the most onerous tariffs, that there are still tariffs assessed against China. So, you know, there is the fentanyl tariff that was kind of put in place. There is still, you know, the steel and aluminum tariffs that are put in place. So I do think that after 90 days, you will see some concessions and some agreement. I think that the war back and forth with China was not very popular among the business community. So I think the idea that it's going to continue heavy past 90 days, I don't see that happening. Does that mean all tariffs will be eliminated? Absolutely not. You know, we will continue to see, you know, like the Section 232 tariff on steel, the 25%, you know, reciprocal tariffs, 10%, all those types of things I think we'll continue to see. But this 145% tariffs that you know, they had touted, I think we're probably over that at this point.
Right. And where are we seeing it right now? Like where, like through solar or wood or lumber, like with Canada, like where are we seeing current price increases and what do we expect from that?
Yeah. So I've seen it in metal coil and fasteners, structural steel. I've seen it in aluminum flashings, HVAC components, polyiso insulation, lithium batteries and battery packs that are used to run tools and equipment. Almost every material has raised a little bit. And I think there are a lot of manufacturers out there that are using this as an excuse to raise prices regardless. So it has had an impact. I think it will continue to have an impact with, I think, steel, metal, coil, that kind of stuff being the most that I've seen.
Okay. And does it take a while? Like, is there a delay between things hitting port and things actually being used on the job site? Like, what's the delay time on this? Or is it immediate because people are watching the news and they're just changing their prices overnight right now?
Yeah, it's not immediate by any means. You know, it goes through a process. And I think ultimately, you know, for the manufacturers that I talk to, they are assessing what this impact looks like. So, you know, as a product enters a port, at that point, that is typically where a duty has to be assessed. And it's all, everything is passed upstream. So for example, if a duty is assessed, it only ultimately goes to the manufacturer. Manufacturer is going to pass it on to distribution. Distribution is going to pass it on to the contractor. The contractor is going to pass it on to the customer. But it takes a little bit of time for that to process. You know, typically when a tariff is assessed, so let's say the Trump administration came out today and said, hey, we're going to put up another 50% tariff on the EU. Okay, they would give a little bit of lead time on that, not a lot, maybe within a week or something. And then from that point on, any shipments, any cargo containers, whatever it is, would have to pay that import duty of whatever that amount is. So that amount is then passed on to the person that ultimately wants to purchase those items, and then so on and so forth until it gets to the end user.
And this is, I think most people know this by now, but like, just to be clear, when we, like the United States imposes a tariff, it's the person bringing it in that's paying for that tariff. It is then up to them to decide how much of that they want to absorb for themselves and how much of that they want to pass down to the consumer. Is that the accurate way of looking at it?
Yeah. Yeah, so typically the importer of record, and that's a term of art, so whoever is actually importing that item would pay the duty at the port when it's delivered, but full pass-through all the way to the end customer takes a while, right? You're not going to see that at the beginning. We have had situations where we've had certain construction manufacturers say, yes, there is a 10% impact here. We're going to absorb it in the near term. And ultimately they may reassess that, they may adjust it down the road. But we have had situations, we saw that with some of the car manufacturers, right, where they said, okay, we're going to, you know, eat it and then figure it out down the road later, right? And one of the things to keep in mind is that there's also a lot of potential loopholes. So, and this is getting in the weeds a little bit, but I think our listeners may be interested in that.
Sure.
So, you know, you can apply for a waiver or an exemption. For example, if you have to import a product because it's not made here in the U.S. and there's only one place that makes it and it's a critical component, you can ask for a waiver and exemption. And, you know, we've done that for certain manufacturers. I will tell you that it is not a straightforward process. It typically has a lobbying or government affairs arm to it, because it's not as easy as just going online and applying for it, right? You've got to kind of pave the way, and it can take a while. So you need to understand that it's not a quick process. Depending on the political viability, it can become quicker, but it doesn't happen overnight. Some of the things to keep in mind is, you know, country of origin and how that product is ultimately changed or altered before it becomes the end product may affect its ultimate tariff rate. So, you know, there are a lot of things like that where you have to kind of get into it. That exception where you alter the product was specifically carved out of a lot of the metal stuff. So even if, for example, you roll form, you know, metal panels, you're still going to get assessed that 25% tariff that they've assessed on importing metal. But other products, you may be able to get away with that. So bottom line is there are exemptions and waivers available, but it takes some know-how, and usually there are customs consultants and lawyers that engage in international sales that can assist in navigating this kind of issues.
And as the contractor, as someone who's more just purchasing from ABC Supply, from wherever, right? How is there a way for me to just audit and rethink where my supply chain comes from, where I get my material? Is there any moves I should be making or thinking through right now?
Yeah. So consistent theme throughout this conversation is have open and honest communications with distribution. And if you're buying directly from manufacturing, right? And what I mean by that is not just the salesperson that's going to, you know, get you that next trip to Aruba. It's the credit manager. It's people up the food chain. And the kind of questions that you want to ask is, hey, what are you hearing? Do you think that what are price increases look like? Can I lock in pricing now? You know, depending on your buying capability, distribution will work with you and help you to allocate a certain amount of inventory in advance. They may even store inventory for you, depending on, again, your relationship, duration, and how much you're spending, right? So having those open and honest communications, I think, is a good thing. But yes, if you are getting a certain product from a certain country, it is possible to work with distribution to say, hey, what other options do you have? I can no longer buy this widget from China. Is there somewhere else I can get it that has a less, you know, a lower tariff, or is there a viable source here in the US that I can move to? And along with that, it should impact and affect how you go to bid a project, right? If you're submitting a proposal for a project, you want to make sure that you're including a system or you're including materials that you know that you can source at a, you know, reasonable price that aren't going to have a significant markup down the road.
And given what we've seen, actually, this is important about contracts, but like when I'm proposing to a customer to do a project, how long should I be guaranteeing my price on those materials?
Yeah, and this is a mistake that I see a lot of contractors do. They'll say, okay, quote's good for 30 days. Well, you know, I never liked that to begin with. I definitely didn't like it during the materials crisis that we had in 21 post-COVID. I don't like it now. Right. I don't think you should have a quote window, you know, open much longer than 10 or 15 days. And, you know, you should be able to pull it at any time if they haven't accepted it. So if you get a vendor notification or distribution notification that one of your core components is increasing 15% overnight, yank those proposals. Right. And say, hey, I got to pull this. I'm going to readjust it. But don't have a long, if it's a fixed price contract, don't have a very long quote window. Make sure that you're closing out no later than 15 days, you know. And the bottom line is they're going to shop you for 30 days anyway. Why would you want that, right? You're basically telling your customer, hey, go out and get other quotes for the next month. You got plenty of time to see if you can get a better price or better deal. I wouldn't want to do that. I would want to give them enough time to make a decision, but I'd also want to let them know that, hey, because of the situation we got going on with tariffs right now, I can't hold this for very long. So let me know if you want to buy it. Otherwise, you know, we're going to have to raise prices. And, you know, a little bit of pressure technique there, but it can convert leads. So
what is the best way to price jobs right now? Like with prices constantly moving, how do you make a decision on where to put your pricing on material cost?
Yeah, typically what I like to see, obviously, if you can cost plus a job, that's great. But most customers don't like cost plus. They want to have an idea of what it's going to cost, right? I mean, you can provide an estimate, you can do all those types of things. So what I recommend, well, you could do a fixed price contract. You can say, hey, this is a $15,000 remodel or $15,000 paint job or $15,000 roof or whatever it might be. But you can also have a variety of time and materials components within your contract for known extras. So for example, let's say you're doing a roof, you know, you're going to be replacing decking, you know, you might have to do, you know, soffit or gutter or fascia or whatever, right? And you can have a time and materials component, which means basically your hourly rate for that work, plus whatever the material costs are and, you know, reasonable amount for overhead and profit, have all that spelled out on the contract. You know, if it's for something like gutter or soffit, you can say, you know, per lineal foot. If it's deck replacement, you can do per unit or however you want to do it. But you spill all that out, it does a couple of things. One is it helps cut against fixed prices because you've got, you know, you've basically got a cost plus element in your contract. And two, it eliminates the need for, you know, change orders. If you've already got something in your contract that reflects that stuff, it's always a good idea to get, you know, the sign off on it, but you're not required because it's part of the contract. So I like having those sort of that hybrid type formula in there where you've got, hey, here's a standard price. Here's what it is moving forward. The other thing they should do is they should pre-purchase materials or tell the owner to pre-purchase them and have that be a payment for you so that you can lock in pricing. That way you kind of secured it in advance of the project.
Yeah, you're kind of guaranteeing the supply chain of your own stuff to make sure it actually is going to the job at the right pricing and you can adjust accordingly.
Yeah, exactly.
There's two things that I looked into a little bit, which is, and it kind of sounds a little bit what you're talking about, but indexed fix or index linked pricing and then contingency allowances. Is there anything just explain on those two options, pros and cons of them?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, there's a lot of sort of, you know, leading indicators that you need to watch if you really want to, you know, get into it and kind of understand, you know, what is it that I should be watching and what should I be looking for? So there are a handful of indicators that I look at. There's one known as the crude steel sheet index, and there's also a 3-month aluminum index that's called LME. And I tend to watch those because what they're going to do is tell me what Alba's prices have been affected. You know, if you trade in commodities, you can also kind of see what the going rate is for, you know, certain of the key components. And then there's another one that I look at all the time, and it's called Freightos Baltic Global Container Index. And that it is very data centric. But if you drill down into it, it will give you a lot of the per container cost for a lot of different units. And I'm only looking for key things, right? I don't care what toys are, you know, running. I don't care about the Barbies coming from China. I care about, you know, what does it look like for the key chemicals that are used in creating the components that we're using over here, or I'm looking at metal, or I'm looking at fasteners, or I'm looking at, you know, PVC or whatever it might be that's imported. You know, that is important. The other thing that I look at all the time, and I recommend that people kind of take a look at this, is if you go to federalregister.gov, it's federalregister.gov, you can go on there, and that is where every single federal notice, whether it's an executive order or something else, is published. That's where you have to provide notice to the public of anything that's coming out. So you can set up email subscriptions there, just like you get, you know, a Google heads up. You can do the same thing with Federal Register. So I put in key terms there like construction, you know, roofing, aluminum, steel, whatever it might be, tariff. You know, there are a handful, about 25 different keywords that I've placed, so that if any notice is published, then you have the opportunity to really look at that and kind of figure out, you know, what's going on and how that's going to affect. You know, one of the interesting things is you'll get what's known as a tariff ruling, and it'll talk about the details on tariffs, how they apply, because all you see on the news is sound bites, right? You'll see, oh, there's 145% tariff on China, but they don't break down actually how that works, right? So these give you the details if you're interested. The other thing that the most important thing for a contractor that's listening to this is the supplier allocation memos. So, you know, your distribution will update you and will send you emails, and you can request to be put on distributor list that will give you real world updates of those things that you use every day. Now, if it's if you're spending, you know, $150 a week on paint thinner, then that's one thing. If you're spending, you know, $5,000 every week on fasteners, that's something else. So you only want to focus on those key items that are going to impact your overall, you know, that's really going to swing your project cost. But those are the primary resources that I kind of look at to kind of tell me what the future is. And they're about as accurate as you're going to get. I mean, if you have all that information, then that's the same information that everybody else is looking at.
Taking things in your own hands instead of just kind of watching the news and freaking out and being like, I guess we just got to increase prices and we're going to assume here. It's like, no, like go do a bit of research, take a bit of time. Material costs can be 10 to 40% of a project and that can just wipe out profit. So is it worth doing all that work just because you didn't want to go and take a look at a few indexes and get some updates on emails? And it sounds like, and what you've just described, it sounds daunting probably to some listening, but I think if they just took one or two of these steps, it would give them a lot more clarity than just the assumptive game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest thing is just communication with your distribution. And I like this Federal Register heads up. You know, it gives me a heads up as to what's going on. You know, we don't have luxury of sitting around listening to the news all day. You know, if you're like me, you get 20 or 30 minutes at best, you see the headlines and you move on to whatever, you know, whatever the next fire is that you got to put out. But I think that if you do, like you said, just do one or two of these things, that it's going to keep you alert and help you understand what's coming down the road.
And I appreciate this because when we prepped, you were kind of like, everyone else just wants me to give high level, like general thoughts. And I was like, no, let's get into it. Let's nerd out a bit. And I appreciate this because it might be a little hard to like try to hear it on a podcast, but it's like, pause this, go back, listen to some of the things that Trent just said and like, go take a check, look at a few of these things and how they impact some of the biggest materials costs that you have in your business. So that's good. The main thing when I first thought of bringing you in is this next question I have, which is all about contractor clauses. So like what contractor clauses should we have in to protect ourselves from tariff shocks? Because whether it's now or even in the future, like this should live on forever.
Yeah. So there's a handful of things that I think our listeners should have in their contracts to deal not only with this issue, but with prices in general. So, you know, the first thing is a price acceleration provision. So this is a provision that I originally drafted in 2004 when we had four hurricanes hit the Gulf Coast area all at once, and the price for construction materials went through the roof. So what a price acceleration provision is it says that in the event that any material line item goes up by 5%, you can put whatever percent you want, I just put 5%, that you're entitled to an adjustment of the contract. Second part of it is that you actually have to show what the costs are, so you can't just say, hey, my prices went up, you need to pay me. You got to show that the prices went up. And what this does is it gives you a contractual mechanism that in the event that there's some uncertainty, whether it's tariffs or COVID or whatever the next crisis is, you know, and materials shoot up, it gives you a chance to go to your customer and say, hey, I've got this provision on the contract. I want to work with you. And you may not take 5%, right? You may take 2%. You might negotiate with them, but it gives you a means to start having that discussion. And that's what I like about it. I've literally had contractors come up to me at expos and said that provision has saved them hundreds of thousands of dollars. So regardless of whether you're residential, commercial, whatever you're doing, put that in your contract. It'll save you money. Next thing I recommend is you want a good, you know, force majeure act of God clause. Act of God, what that means is that there's something has happened that is unforeseeable that has caused you to be unable to perform. Or to perform at the contracted price. So typical examples are war, you know, terrorism, strikes, things like that. But I've expanded it to, you know, epidemics, pandemics, material unavailability, and you can add things like tariffs. I would caution you that, you know, is a tariff raising prices unforeseeable? On a lot of things that are pre-existing, probably not, but there may be something new down the road where that provision may kick in. So why not have it in there? That's another way. Then another thing that I recommend is sometimes I'll have very specific provisions on tariffs. You know, if you've got a larger contract, let's say you're doing a commercial job and you want to have something even more robust and tariff specific, I'll go into greater detail and talk about the process. You know, if a tariff is assessed, you know, based on this indices and based on federal notice, then we will, you know, adjust the prices according to match whatever the increase is, or we'll adjust it X or whatever it might be. and it gives you a more delineated process. It doesn't mean, you know, the price acceleration provision was perfectly fine. This is just a little bit more robust way to tackle the tariffs issue. And those are three different ways that I've kind of gone about looking at it from a contractual standpoint. That, and then obviously operationally, you want to bid accordingly. You know, we already talked about, you don't want a long window out there. You don't want to, you know, have 30 plus days where they can potentially shop you. You don't want to do anything that's going to potentially lock you in for a very long period of time without the ability to adjust your contract. But those are a handful of things that I think are useful for our listeners.
Yeah, I remember doing this prep with you, and the price escalation clause I thought was like the most like palatable, tangible one. We're good to, we can give this to everybody. We can give a little link in the description, give them an example of what exactly this looks like.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's a solid, that's been tested. I've had that tested in court. And it's held up. You know, it doesn't mean it holds up everywhere, but I know for certain that as worded, it's at least faced some judicial scrutiny. So that's a good sign. And it's been around for more than 20 years now. Through every type of disaster you can possibly think of. So I would definitely recommend you put that in your contract.
In court, where did you get this clause? I downloaded it off of a podcast.
Yeah. So
maybe still get that looked at by your lawyer, but at least you'll have something to start with that you can kind of play with. So is that
absolutely
fair?
Yep.
Okay, good. What's next here? So I would love, so you said you spent some time in DC. You already alluded to, like, I think commerce seas are front of us, but what are you seeing? What's going on? What's kind of the next couple months to the rest of this year? What do you foresee?
Yeah. So, you know, I am in DC quite a bit. And in a past life, I was both a state lobbyist and a federal lobbyist. And, you know, politics is front and center here. There are a lot of things going on behind the scenes, and tariffs are used a way to exact change from other countries. So it is the same as a sanction almost. You can think of it that way. And one of the things that, you know, the Trump administration is doing is trying to get these countries to come to the table with better deals, whether it's investment, whether it's lowering tariffs on their end. In the case of China, IP protection, intellectual property is constantly being stolen over there. So, you know, figuring out a way to make that enforceable, there's a variety of different things that are on the table. I will tell you that in the height of the chaos, there was a lot of the party that was the Republican Party that was very concerned about their constituents and what impact this would have, you know, on the midterm elections. And even though that's, you know, a ways away, it's really not. You know, what our listeners need to understand is that if you're a representative or a senator, you're basically a professional fundraiser. So every single month, if I want to be a representative, not in a major city, right, but just a representative, not in New York or LA or just somewhere else, I've got to raise $300,000 to $500,000 every month. You know, every month of my existence, I have to raise that. And that money is absolutely critical. It helps dictate party support. It helps dictate your advertising capability. And ultimately, it's going to dictate who wins elections. So part of the concern that the party has been having is that this level of upheaval has caused a lot of frustration among constituents and business owners that can't get certainty. It's caused some market upheaval, although that's corrected at this point. So as I kind of alluded, this is going to even out, you know, by summer, which is really where it needs to stop so that you can really start your fundraising and moving forward and not have the potential upheaval that you might have. If this continues, I think you're going to see a cessation of a lot of this up and down, up and down, up and down. I think you will continue to have news of deals, you know, or rollbacks or things of that nature, but you're not going to see punitive tariffs. I would be shocked if you continue to see it after summer for political reasons.
So good news. Trent tells us we're good. We're good.
Yeah.
This kind of brings me to my next question, which is it is easy to listen to that and then just go, okay, let's just calm down and go back to business as normal. I still think it would be intelligent to scenario plan, right? To think through the good, the bad, and maybe the ugly. Any just recommendations on how a contractor would do that?
Yeah. Yeah, just because things may slow down, the chaotic nature of this may stop or subside a little bit, doesn't mean the prices are going to go down, right? Rarely do you see prices come down. You know, gas may be the only exception there, but if a material rises in price, I don't see distribution or manufacturers going, you know what, let me lower that price now. So you can anticipate that whatever prices have increased are probably going to stay that way. The only exception may be, you know, steel and aluminum, just because that's more of a commodity. But, you know, your end product price will probably remain the same. Even if the tariffs have subsided, there is enough volatility in other areas of the economy to suggest that you want to really protect yourself, right? I mean, there have been some signs of, you know, some unnerving signs in the economy as far as, well, there may be recession, there may not be, there may be, you know, other issues down the road. We're still running a huge deficit. You know, interest rates are still relatively high. There's a lot of uncertainty. So regardless of whether things are peachy or things are a lot worse than they are now, if you go ahead and you have these provisions in your contract, if you do everything that we're telling you to do now, you're going to be good regardless, right? Have those communications with distribution and manufacturing. Why wouldn't you do that, right? Put those good provisions in your contract. Bid smart. You know, don't be a bank for your customer. I hate to see contractors say pay upon completion. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? If a customer can't pay you a deposit, why are you doing work for them? Look, my dad always told me, he always referred to me as boy or son. He said, boy, it's the customers you don't take that make you successful. I didn't know what he meant until I started my own business, and then I knew exactly what he meant. Right. And I think our contractors need to be the same way. Have good operational skills, you know, be purposeful and consistent in everything that you do. And regardless of what happens tomorrow, you're prepared.
I did this in COVID for the first time, and I've seen this with some of our members, but this idea of even running like 2 to 3 budgets for your year. So you're kind of looking at revenue projections, gross profit margin based on variable expenses, aka material being one of them, and then your overhead. And just running that out and being like, what if our material costs go up by 10%? Okay, let's just take a look at what that does to our bottom line and how that impacts things. What if they go up by 20%? What if they go back down to where they're currently at? And given those scenarios, what should we do? What do we need to price differently? Maybe we need to like look at our overhead costs. Maybe we need to look at how we're doing revenue to make sure we still balance our bottom line. And so given things moving, we know what needs to happen and we know where our prices need to sit to be stable. So,
yeah. You know, I think that's game playing is critical, right? And, you know, if you go ahead, I'm a big believer in having a SOP for anything, an SOP on how to buy a pencil, right? Standard operating procedure. And if you do that, then you're prepared, right? Especially for crisis planning. And what I would do, let's say if you gameplay a 20% jump, 25% jump, you know, what do you do? Well, you know, you think about, do I activate that escalation clause? Do I have that conversation with the customer? Do you have a one-page explanation to your customer about tariffs and the potential impact and how, you know, you'll work with them to navigate the issues, but we're currently experiencing, you know, material volatility and just recognize that this is an issue, you know, go ahead and lay that foundation in advance. If you've got big purchases, you know, see if there's supplier financing or some kind of bonded storage or, you know, risk sharing capability or whatever it might be. Look to pre-purchase, you know, in the event that you can. And I like to make sure that you're running that drill in ops meetings, you know, make sure that you're talking about it and your estimating department, your purchasing department, and just be prepared. That's the best thing that you can do. And again, you know, worst case scenario, you spend all that time and nothing happens, right? That's probably a best case scenario for you. So, but you prepared, and whether it's this event or there's something down the road, that knowledge is going to be useful for you.
We've talked a lot of strategies in the last 25 minutes. It's been actually a lot in a very short period of time. How many people do you think are actually doing this right now?
You know, I think there are a lot of contractors that have experienced impacts like this in the past that are actively doing it, right? It's newer contractors that may not have experienced this level of an issue. But if you've been in business for, you know, pre-COVID, you've seen a lot of this. You've seen just nutty stuff happening, everything from government shutdowns to, you know, prices going through the roof because of material unavailability or whatever it might be. So I think it's probably a 50-50 kind of thing, but I think you'll gain a competitive advantage if you're doing this, because your competition may not be doing it. And if they're not doing it, you're going to be prepared and they're not.
Fair enough. Is there any, just like, if you were to say, hey, everyone tonight, if you were to do one thing in the next 24 to 48 hours, what is the quick, simple wins off this podcast that someone could take action on?
Yes. Well, I'll give a couple, right? One is check your contract, add that provision. Okay. That's an easy one. But what I would do is I would go through, you know, I don't know what our listeners are using for software tracking, like if they've got inventory software, but I would go through your inventory or anything that you've purchased in the last 12 months. And I would flag anything that has gone up significantly in price or is Chinese origin, and really look at those to see what other alternatives are available. Have I bid this appropriately? Can I look to the customer to maybe adjust this? But it's about understanding your inventory, understanding the pinch points, and looking to pre-order where you can on items that you know are going to be affected by tariffs. And if they're already affected, looking to see if you can shift to maybe something different or look to reallocate. That would be what I would do. I think, you know, having your finger on the on top of, or your thumb on top of inventory is always a good thing, because it really helps you track one of your key costs, right? And if you can figure out how do I nudge that downward, regardless of whether it's tariffs or something else, you're going to be saving money.
Excellent. Okay. Trent, that's a lot. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for doing this with us. And thanks for going a little deeper than I've seen a lot of people cover this topic, because I think a lot of people are just more about the fear mongering. And I think we actually just talked about some logistical stuff that should help a lot of people listening. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
And how do we get in touch with you? I mean, you've worked with a lot of our members. You've done phenomenal work in the industry. I've known you for a lot of years. How do people reach out to you? And what tell us a bit about you and what you do.
Sure. So, yeah, I am a construction attorney, partner, and construction team leader at Adams & Reese. We're a nationwide firm. You can reach me via email at trent.cotney@arlaw.com or anywhere on social at Trent Cotney.
Awesome. And we'll get this sample price acceleration clause in place so that we can, anyone listening can go into the link in the description, grab it, gives you some direction on what I would say is a pretty simple fix to your contracts right now. So that should help as well. Okay. Well, Trent, let's head out. Thanks for joining me,
Fantastic.
Friend. Okay. Thanks for
Thank
all your
you.
Thoughts
Appreciate
and advice. It. Talk to you later. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our podcast, consider sharing this episode with another contractor that you think needs to hear it.